So I come this morning with enthusiasm in this wisdom for wealth. Now then, God has given us principles for life. If we follow those principles, we will be blessed. If we ignore those principles, well, things will be difficult. We might well struggle in life. Now, God's plan for us is to live free from financial stress. Financial stress, you know, is the number one cause of sickness. That's what they say in the world. Financial stress causes sickness. It causes stress in marriages. And the number one issue in marriages cited, this isn't just for church folk, this is for the society, is financial stress, financial worry. So finances have a huge impact into our lives. And sadly, some people live needlessly full of financial stress and concern. You know, their lives, the rhythm of their life is from one financial stress to the next financial stress. Worry and worry. They live in a perpetual fear of lack in the realm of finances. And their difficulties usually lie in a lack of regard towards God and his wisdom for wealth. God has given us a wisdom for wealth. He doesn't hide his word from us or his instructions from us. Now, God is a God of laws, okay? This is important for us to understand. We have the old covenant. We have the new covenant. The word covenant tells us it's a contract. It's a covenant. It's very strong. The word is a strong word. It means it's binding. It is my binding commitment to you. It's your binding commitment to me. It's a covenant we enter into. And so in the realm of the new covenant and the old covenant, God is teaching us what his will is for us and to us. Now the question is, will we enter into our part in those covenants? Well, the old covenant is gone. The new covenant has superseded it. It's better than the old. So God is a God of laws and covenants. You know, you can see in the physical universe, there are laws. There's the law of gravity, isn't there? The law of thermodynamics. There's the law of Pythagoras' theory in mathematics. You remember that from school, anyone? The sum of the square of the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the square of the other two sides. So that means that if there's a triangle and there's a line going down, it goes like this and then it goes like this. If this dimension is 3 and this dimension is 4, you go 3 times 3 is 9, 4 times 4 is 16. This then must necessarily be 9 and 16 is what? 25. That means that this is 5. 5 fives are 25. Beautiful. Beautiful. It's Pythagoras' law. It's mathematics. It's beautiful. I like it. I get a kick from it. It gives me a thrill. Because it's a testimony to God and his works. He works. God is beautiful. And everything in the universe works. God has made it so that it works. It's exactly the same in this realm. The question is, will we employ it? You see, if you understand Pythagoras' law, there are certain times in life when you can employ that and do great things with it. If you understand the laws of thermodynamics, for example, you can employ those laws and they can do great things. If you understand the law of electricity, you can employ it. It'll do great things. The law of lift. Well, the Wright brothers discovered it, and they were able to fly a plane. You see, understanding laws and then employing those laws will change our lives. And just as God gave us those physical laws, there's spiritual laws within our universe. They're not to be confused, you know, with the law as in the law of the Old Testament, but they form our wisdom and benefit us when we adopt them. And a lack of adopting those laws will hurt us. So today I'm going to talk briefly about wisdom for wealth and the biblical laws that govern this realm. Did you know that the Lord Jesus spoke more about money than he did heaven or hell? Isn't that interesting? He spoke more about money than heaven or hell. What does that tell us? That tells us that he's interested in finance. He's interested in that realm. Why is he interested in that realm? Well, we understand that if we're not interested in that realm, if we pretend to be, as I've heard some people say, oh, well, I don't care about those things. Well, you know, you need to switch your brain on then if you don't care about those things. Because those things, a lack of finance causes stress, which causes sickness. Or it causes stress and it causes marriage breakups. It's an important thing for us to care about. In the sense that, you know, we take an understanding into it. We must employ our thinking in this realm. He calls us to do that. Let's read what the scriptures teach. Turn with me, if you would, please, first of all, to Luke chapter 16. And we'll read from verse 1. This is just to highlight the importance of what we're talking about this morning. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What's this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer." The manager said to him, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 900 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of the light." What a strange parable this is. "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted..." Now, this is the crux of what I wanted to point out. "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" Very powerful when you think of the implications of that. That is worthy of some reflection, brothers and sisters. That's a strong, very, very strong. Who will trust you with true riches if you can't be trusted with the riches of this world? In other words, if you are really and genuinely responsible before God, it will show in your financial realm. If you're not, it'll show in your financial realm. Very powerful. Who will trust you with the riches of heaven? Notice the link. If money has you in its grip, often a sign is a Christian who doesn't tithe. The seriousness of this is highlighted by Jesus. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Very strong. And notice the connection between the physical realm, money, and the spiritual realm. There is a connection. This parable makes a connection between the two. Some people are so, you know, Christian, they think, oh, we're not bothered. We don't care for it. We don't care about money. No, that's not being spiritual. That's unspiritual. The scriptures are teaching us that. We have a duty of care. There's a connection. No wonder that Jesus spent so much time on the subject of money. Now, if you do tithe, take note and continue being trustworthy, not just in finances, but in all areas of life. The wisdom for wealth, three steps that we're about to look at, can be applied to all areas of life. They provide the route to success and wisdom. And today you can cooperate with God's laws of financial freedom, and they will change your life. God is concerned for us. He wants the best for us. He loves us. And today, my advice is this, strongly, decide to cooperate with God and make a decision to adopt these following three principles into our lives. Number one is the law of ownership. The law of ownership. God is my source of supply. Understand, first thing, that God is the source of my supply. It's not my ability. It's not my gifting. It's not anything to do with me. My savings aren't my source. My ability isn't my source. My connections, my efforts, none of those things are my source. And so, for example, if someone was to lose their job and they had that attitude of mind, they wouldn't be stressed out because they're not relying on themselves as their source. God is their source. Get the first thing right and understand the law of ownership. The law of ownership is that God is our source. God is the one in charge. Deuteronomy 8:18, please. Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So God gives us the ability to produce wealth. Everything comes from God. Everything comes from God. This is the principle of ownership. The New Testament talks about this. If we turn, for example, to Romans 11. Turn to Romans 11, verse 36. And it says, "For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Everything is from God. So we must recognize that allowing God to direct us is wise. He owns it all. He purchased our very lives. Jesus purchased our very lives. And He has given us a rich and royal inheritance. Once we truly accept that, we'll start looking towards Him as our supply rather than ourselves. Did you know, for example, that the Bible teaches us about overtime, for example? You know, many people work overtime for financial gain. Well, you know, the Bible is an intensely practical book, but a lack of understanding of what the Bible teaches impoverishes us. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Proverbs 23. It talks about our own efforts and the danger of those efforts. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. It says this, very clear, very clear. Do not overwork to be rich. How about that? So when you have someone working overtime, stressing, oh, we've got to put the hours in, put it. They aren't getting their priorities right. They're looking to themselves rather than God. And it's dangerous. It's disobedience. It's disobedience to wisdom for wealth. Wisdom for wealth that wouldn't do that. Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. That's the testimony that Micah gave. Those people that were with her, you know, working full time, their money just flew off. Where's it gone? We're working all the time. There's no money spare at the end of the week. Some people, you know, what they do is, if they've got a little bit of change left over at the end of the week, they'll give God a tip. It's the wrong way around, folks. The wrong way around. God first. Don't tip him. It's God first. Now, and stop looking to yourself. Yield to his ownership of your life. God's way is best, folks. God's way is the best way. Proverbs 10:22. Here's a lovely encouragement. I took this on board. You know, when I had no money, I had no money in the bank, nothing at all, and I just took it on board. I read it in the Bible and I believed it. And what you believe, you will receive. If you believe, you'll receive from it. It's as simple as that. You say, well, that sounds too simple. Well, it's simple. And it's truth. And it's simple. And I just know it's the truth. And it says this. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Do you want that type of life? Yes. I want that type of life. So the law of ownership I must employ. He is in charge. Everything is from God. He is first place in my life as a consequence. And by the way, we're talking about finances today because finances are important. But this equally applies to every area of life. Everything. This applies to everything. The law of ownership. Putting God first place. Now the second point that I want to highlight today, and it's very important, is the law of honor. The law of honor, okay? Putting God first, if you want God to bless your marriage, you put him first. If you will enjoy a blessed marriage that way. The same is true about relationships, or your time, or your business, whatever it might be, finances. Put God first. Putting God first means that we give God honor. It's the law of honor. So the first law that we've spoken about is recognizing ownership. God owns everything. So it's the law of ownership. Know in your mind that God is in charge. God owns everything. It's his. The second is the law of honor. Now that we know that it's his, we honor him with what he has given us. Okay? And when we honor him with what he's given us, we enter into this realm. And Deuteronomy 8:18 says, it influences it. Let's not go there. Let's go to Malachi. Let's go to Malachi 3, 8 to 10. And I want to highlight this very familiar passage, and I want to then illustrate something very important that sometimes hasn't been highlighted. So putting God first gives honor to God. It means that at the least we employ the principle of tithing. It says in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. But watch this. God's storehouse, he says, is my house. And in the New Testament, we hear, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. He's talking about his assembly, his church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. The tithe goes to the church. Now, the problem is many people want to decide where they put the tithe. So, for example, some people say, well, I'm going to give to this charity and that'll be my tithe. Oh, no, it won't. If you give the tithe to that charity, it's not a tithe. The tithe has to come to God's house. You can give to the charity. It's good to give to charity, but it's not a tithe. We don't choose where the tithe goes. The tithe goes to God's house. Is that clear? You see, some people, they want to choose a charity, but it just doesn't work like that. Some people think that they can tithe to the poor. No. They can't. Now, it can be good to give to the poor, but the tithe is to God. And it's a very important principle to the church. You can't call your tithe the money given to the television preacher either. Or the needy cause down the road. You know, the devil is so subtle in this. He likes to, people like to have control. So they say, I'm going to decide where my money goes. I don't trust the church. They're control freaks. And they're not really trusting God. You know, because to trust God means that we do it God's way. In obedience. You see sometimes, I heard of someone who their children were going to a Christian school in Canada. So it's an expensive school. So now what they decided was that instead of giving their tithe to the church, they're giving their tithe to the Christian school in the form of the fees for their children to attend. You see how people do it? People try and wangle it and try and get around it and try and circumnavigate what God says for their own selfish desires. It's not the way. The right way to do it is just to be obedient and just do it God's way. And don't be clever with it. Surrender it and see what God will do. That's the truth. I've found that the people with the greatest lack, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, don't want to tithe. Now, I'm talking now about, I'm talking about an average principle. It's good to give to the poor. You know, as a church, we give to the poor. As individuals, we give to the poor. It's important that we do that. You know, every week I have calls from people in various parts of the world because we are connected with churches and people in different places. And I'm so happy that we've been able to give into various things. You know, there's children meeting today that live on rubbish dumps in various parts of the world. Little three-year-old children, you know, that are fending for themselves. If you can imagine, they're fending for themselves, crawling on the rubbish dumps to try and find little scraps of food that they can eat. You know? And The Lord wants us in a position where when he speaks to our hearts, we can do something. I was caught up in this one time where I was really so caught in this that I was despairing. And for £15, you could get cataract operations to people in Africa. I was so caught up in it that I was running a business and I just had no... it was tormenting me. I couldn't go into... if I went to a restaurant and bought a meal, I thought, that's an operation for someone. And I just... it became a real issue. And so, you know... and I had quite a lot of money coming in. It was difficult because you're tormented because you know that you can do some good. Eventually, I had freedom through in fact Micah. But I was with Micah in Canada, and we walked down the street. I saw a very expensive watch. I just went in to try it on. I'd always have £5 watches. I tried this watch on, thousands it was, and Micah said, "Well, why don't you buy it?" I said, "I couldn't buy a watch." Dear me, how many operations is that? The first thought, how many operations is that? I went down the street, I prayed, because Micah encouraged me to pray. She said, "Look, we should pray." She knew there was a bondage or something going on. I was in bondage to this thing. And we prayed, and the Lord spoke to me clearly. And I had tremendous release from this thinking. And he said this. He said, "Listen," he said, "your shoulders aren't big enough to carry the weight of the world on them." He said, "I'm calling you to do and to give what I tell you to give. As long as you do that, you're free to spend whatever you have any way you choose thereafter. Any way you choose, you're free." And that day, that bondage broke. It was beautiful. So, what I'm saying is that, yes, it's good that we do things, but God has to direct us. But God wants us to have resources so that he can direct us. But we must do it under his, otherwise we'll become guilt-ridden. And that's not the way the Lord leads us. Amen?
Amen.
So, a basic and strategic action of obedience is to honor God. If you're not determined, to give the tithe, what happens is it will fritter away. You know, something will happen. When I first started a tithe, to my shame, what I would do is, I remember I would go out, this is many years ago now. I remember one time, it was a Sunday, let me be honest, it was a Sunday. And I remember I was by the front door and I felt the Lord prompt me, "Your checkbook, you forgot your checkbook." And this is how we are as humans. We kid ourselves. So he prompted me, "You forgot your checkbook." I had plenty of time. I was in no rush. And I pretended to panic before God. I sort of went, what shall I do? And I thought, take your mind off it. Think of something else and you forget about it. So I went looking, should I wear this coat or this coat? It may rain. Perhaps it'll rain. I wonder if it'll rain today. Maybe it won't rain. It's too warm anyway. Oh, let me just get there quick now. If I mess around like this, I was out of the door, in the car, going to church, forgot the checkbook. I wanted to forget it. I didn't want to pay the tithe. You see how I tricked myself? Isn't it incredible how we are, human beings? Oh, I'm so glad that I changed my thinking. I'm so happy I changed my thinking. But that's what we're like. Because the flesh, you see, doesn't really want to do this. The flesh, this goes against the flesh. Because what happens is you have to work in order to get finance in. So it's not the case of, you have to spend time and then it comes in. And now you're going to just give it. It doesn't add up to our thinking. But you know, it really does add up to God's thinking. And he tells us not to lean on our own understanding. So honoring the Lord. Proverbs 3, 9 and 12, it says this. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Proverbs 3, 9 to 12. You know, people who are the church leaders today and those who will be tomorrow's church leaders are tithers. Do you love your family? Do you believe in good investments? Then tithe. If you don't tithe, make no mistake, you're choosing to make a bad investment for the future. And the third point that I wanted to make this morning, just as we close here, is the law of investing. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, it talks about the parable of the talents. Now, the parable of the talents is interesting because a talent is, in fact, a weight of gold. So one talent is, in fact, roughly about 10 to 15 salaries. It's a lot of money. Annual salaries. So what's an average annual salary? I don't know, £20,000, is it? £25,000, I think, perhaps now? £25,000, I've no idea, but... £25,000, something like that. So 10 of those is £250,000. One talent is £250,000. So it says this, verse 14 of Matthew 25. For the kingdom of heaven, notice he's talking about the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's using physical things to describe the kingdom of heaven. It's like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and bought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. He was afraid, notice. Fear had got a grip of him. Many people don't take hold of opportunities because of fear. Fear has frozen them, frozen with fear. They don't want to do it, they're feared, and they're fearful. But God is saying, listen, the parable of the talents, the wicked one was the one who was afraid. Don't fear. You see, when you've got the first 2 right, when you know that God is in charge of everything, when you know that God is the one who's in charge, he's the author of everything, and we're going to honor him with our lives, there's no fear then. Because then we're walking in faith. And fear has no realm there. Fear doesn't have an opportunity. So when we get the first 2 right, we walk in faith, and faith takes things. It's not fearful of losing things. So it's a very important thing for us to get an understanding about. But his Lord, verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and to he and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My friends, this parable is about the kingdom of heaven. And within the kingdom, God's servants have talents. Be sure to use them. Invest in them. The parable uses talents because investing your money, just like other talents, is an obvious responsibility for the Christian. Don't squander. Don't squander it. Invest it. Use it. And be confident in it, knowing that God is with you. And let's pertain it to money in this instance and say this. Well, look, if you haven't got money to invest, you may say, or if you're not involved in saving money that so one day you might invest, then you're spending too much. Do it as a principle. Do it with 1 pence. Save a penny a week. As a principle. To invest. And don't spend too much. Avoid things like impulse purchases. You know, Proverbs 21:5, it says something insightful to us. It says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. People are hasty in purchases sometimes. You know, you go to the, they've got point of sale stuff at the checkouts. Little chocolate bars, little this, little that, all these things. People want to buy them hasty, buying things hasty. Oh, that looks nice. I'll have that. I have to watch this. I was one of those people, if I watched the TV, I'd buy the thing that was being advertised. I was probably, you know, the word is sucker, I think. One of the biggest ones around. I had all sorts of things in the past. I don't do it anymore because I know what I'm like. I had exercise machines. You know these exercise machines? I saw it. I said, this is amazing. I said, Micah, look at this. I bought irons, thank you. These irons. I don't even iron clothes. I saw the advert on TV. It was amazing. I said, Michael, look at this. Look what he's doing. He's just going like this. There's no creases. It's amazing. You see this product? I just so, God, I wanted the product. I'm not interested in ironing. But I saw this thing and I bought it, you know, and there I spent more money, wasted more money. And a whole array of things that I've purchased like this. No, friends, that's not the way. Don't be hasty, Proverbs teaches us. Proverbs 21:20, it says, there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. Proverbs 21:20. You see, instead, Proverbs teaches us that we should prepare. As we're closing here, Proverbs 24:27. Prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward, build your house. Prepare. Invest money wisely. Know what the Lord has promised you regarding it. The law of ownership. God owns everything. The law of honor. Because of that, honor him. And the law of investing. Be wise. Invest in your talents. Invest those talents and invest finances. And invest with faith, knowing that God is going to bless you, because those are the promises. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So, in conclusion, let's all stand. Happiness is determined by your response to what you have, not by what you have. Let me just say that again. Happiness is determined by your response to what you have, not by what you have. Jesus said a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of his possessions. Money is a test of how responsible you are as a person. It's not just about money management, it's also about life management. Those three points, the law of ownership, honor, and investing, you can apply to every area of your life. It's about maturity, Christian growth, and maturity. So this morning, as we close in prayer, my invite to everyone is this. Follow God's plan for your life. You'll find that he leads to beautiful places, green pastures. He has plans to prosper you, to give you a hope, to give you a future, to bless your life, your children, your family. But it's got to be his way. It's got to be his way, not our way. So we must yield to his way. Follow God's plan for your life, and your days will be happy. Let's close in prayer.